Lincoln Kennedy with Bill at OC. What's up, Link?
OC, how you guys doing, man?
We are we're doing well. By the way, got to say, made my first trip to your alma mater to call a football game a couple of weeks back, and got to say, all that money you donated to the program to help upgrade Husky Stadium, very, very nice, my friend. I was impressed. I enjoyed my trip up to Seattle.
I'll make sure to tell my accountant he did well at hiding some of those funds, taking them from the overseas account and the petty cash fund to make those things happen, so I appreciate it.
Link, we got a big one gearing up here in Salt Lake City, Utah taking on UCLA this weekend. And we've been asking the question all day, 8-2 Utah team that came into the year with kind of mixed expectations depending on who you talk to. The media picked them to finish fifth in the South. It looks like they're going to at least finish in the top three in their division, and the division championship is still a possibility. With only two regular season games left, what to you would constitute a successful finish for this Utah football team?
Win in the Pac-12. I mean, it's case closed. I think that, you know, look, Utah's a good football team. And I've been saying all along on the Pac-12 Network and everything, all the hits that I've done, is that I believe that when it was all said and done, the winner of this conference was going to have two losses. Now, I didn't say necessarily two losses within the conference, but I said two losses, mainly because the way the Pac-12 schedules, one, in non-conference games, and two, the fact that the Pac-12 top to bottom is as good as it is. No one expected Wazoo to be viable. No one expected Cal's offense to be as nice as it has been. More importantly, no one expected, you know, the inconsistencies out of Oregon, just out of the North. And when you come to the South, you had five teams last year that had 10 wins, at least 9 wins, I should say. And come on now, you put that, do the math, you're going to hit your head on the wall a couple of times.
Well, I said, Lincoln, before the season, I thought they had a great chance to have a really special year, maybe go 10-2, and that's still in play right now. They're going to have to beat UCLA this weekend to get to that mark. And UCLA is a hard team to figure right now because at times they look fantastic. Rosen has looked like an All-American at times, and at other times he's looked very ordinary and made some so-so decisions. They're beat up, beat the hell on defense, missing two or three of their top defensive players, and they're going to come to altitude this weekend against a motivated Utah team. So I guess I'd just ask you, which UCLA team do you think we see this weekend?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, your summation of UCLA so far hits the nail right on the head. They have been the hardest team to figure out. No one expected Rosen to play as well as he did for a true freshman. Matter of fact, when they started, season started, no one knew. Everyone thought Newhouse was going to be the quarterback. So no one saw the whole Rosen saga beginning, if you will. So with that, along with the losses they had on defense, and the losses they had just generally, you would think that they would chalk it in. Well, they've shown great resiliency. This team has looked so inconsistent and been so dominant at times. I'm not really sure which team you'll face, but I do think the factors for Utah are definitely in their favor. The higher altitude, the experienced team, and sort of wanting to be resilient and bounce back after a loss that I thought they should have had down here in Tucson. So I think I'm expecting the best out of Utah this weekend.
Well, you're not the only one. A lot of the fans feel the same way, but there is a question mark about the health of Devontae Booker. He sat on the training table, and they sent him back into the game. He was not as explosive, didn't run with his characteristic violence and forward lean, and didn't finish the runs in the end of that game like he did in the previous games that we've seen him in. If he is even less than 100%, or if he's out at any point in this game, do you still think Utah's got a strong chance to beat UCLA? Are they too dependent on Devontae Booker's production?
I don't think they're too dependent on Devontae Booker, but I know that he's a viable asset. It's probably going to be hard for him to do the job without. But I'm also basing it on the fact that we've seen terribly inconsistent play out of UCLA. Look, I believe they have one of the better runners, and UCLA has one of the better running backs in the country in Paul Perkins. But there seems like there's times not only he's beat up, but there's times that they just don't use him for whatever reason. So I think that falls on their coaching staff. But as far as Utah's concerned, I think Utah can definitely attack this UCLA defense. For me studying them, I know their linebackers don't necessarily cover well in space. Of course, they are to their second and third linebackers and stuff like that. But they struggle with the guys and come in space. And Utah would probably be wise if they shorten the side of the field for Travis Wilson and just have him concentrate a progression on one side of the field with a 1-2-3 route combination using the checkdowns as often as possible, because UCLA has a problem covering it.
Hey, Lincoln, Utah hasn't had a great deal of trouble with pocket passers. It's guys like Anu Solomon that can run and get out on the edge and give them a little bit of fit out there. Jared Goff had his worst career game against Utah this year.
Right.
They handled Mike Bercovici very well, held him under 200 yards.
Yeah.
Didn't have a great deal of trouble with Cody Kessler. Kessler had a decent day, but those were a lot of short fields after turnovers. So what would you expect John Pease and Kyle Whittingham to do with Josh Rosen, who is arguably not an Anu Solomon? He's more like the other guys I was talking about.
Well, you know what? One of the things that Josh Rosen has gotten progressively good at as the year gone is going with pre-snap reads and getting rid of the ball pretty quickly. So you just got to change it up. But what I would do against any young quarterback is I would limit the amount of man-to-man snaps. Even in blitzing situation, I would zone blitz because I would like to try to confuse him and maybe get him off his keel, his rocker. Don't have that utmost confidence in playing man-to-man, though I think Utah can probably do it with their starters. But I wouldn't do it. I would zone it up, zone scheme him, zone blitz him, and then make him pull down the reads just a second or two to be able to get that penetration and that pressure on him.
Lincoln Kennedy is our guest here on ESPN 700, the Bill and O.C. Show, talking some college football, particularly in the Pac-12. We thought for a couple of weeks that we had the Pac-12 North at least figured out, that Stanford was going to emerge as the dominant team. Oregon has put themselves right back in that picture. They're in the top 25 again. They beat Stanford head-to-head. They still need some help in the tiebreakers, but who's going to come out of the North and represent in that Pac-12 championship game, Link?
I still think it's Stanford. I still think Stanford's going to be able to hold on. And, here's the thing. If you're Stanford, you look back at that game against Oregon. Stanford tried to do, as far as stats are concerned, they did everything statistically right. They held on the ball for almost 3-to-1 ratio of time possession. They had more rushing yards. They did everything right except the score. Now, Oregon's normally not as quick strike as they were against Stanford, so I don't think that's going to last for a whole lot. But Oregon's got their ball rolling and their mojo back, mainly because Vernon Adams Jr. He provides a different dynamic than any other quarterback in Oregon uniform has this year. And so he's there. He's the one that gets them done. He's so slippery, hard to bring down. But to answer your question, I still think it's Stanford in the North.
Utah fans are gigantic Duck fans this weekend for obvious reasons, Lincoln. And I know the sexy talk is always about SC. SC, you know this. You played in the conference. Even when you guys were going to Rose Bowls, the SC is always going to be, it's kind of like Alabama. Everybody likes to make excuses for the big dog in whatever the conference might happen to be. But, you'll give me an honest opinion. What do you think of SC going to Oregon this weekend? Because you just talked about it. Oregon's kind of got a little bit of the mojo back, and Vernon Adams is playing well, and maybe they figured some things out defensively. Do you like SC's chances at Eugene this weekend?
You know what? Here's the thing. I will say, with as porous as Oregon's defense has been and the amount of stars that SC has on its offensive side, this can definitely be a shootout. And I just know that SC is going to be challenged to contain Vernon Adams. Really, no team has really been able to do it just yet, and Oregon's got its fair share. So it's going to be a shootout, and it's going to be one of those shootouts that's a little disappointing as he's a former player. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like, 60 to 59 ball games in football. And I think it's really going to be probably one of the highest scoring games in the weekend, over the weekend, because I think Cody Kessler is going to test that secondary, much like you guys did in Utah when they played each other, and it's going to be back and forth, back and forth. But to answer your question, I do like SC's chances. It's hard for me to cheer for a Duck. It's even hard for me to cheer for a true Trojan. So you can only imagine, as a former dog, how hard this is.
Yeah, Lincoln Kennedy doesn't like having to take sides when it's two enemies.
Absolutely.
The playoff picture is a prohibitive long shot now for whoever the Pac-12 champion is. Like you said, you correctly predicted that it's going to be a team that has at least two losses.
Right.
And that's probably not going to be good enough to get into the four-team playoff. Ultimately, Link, does that matter? Does that really say anything about the conference?
Not to me. But I think from a national perspective, people would like to have some bragging rights. The Pac-12 was able to hold its flag up even higher last year when Alabama got eliminated, and it was a Pac-12 and a Big Ten school representing a national championship. But I've never been one of those guys who ever believed that a 10-2 or 11-2 season is a failure. Playing after a January 1 bowl, or however they hand out these bowls this time. You know, playing in a post-January bowl was a failure. But for the national perspective, it might seem like that. With that being said, all this does is it continues to force the committee's hands and college football's hands to increase the number of playoff-bound teams. That's all it does. The Big 12 was excluded last year, and we all know in the media, and I'm sure you guys know this as well, there's power in branding. So when you look at the top four right now, you've got four premier brands that if they went to the national championship, it would be a sold-out game. And that's what the NCAA wants. They want the power of branding. So they want big schools. They'd much rather have Notre Dame take on Alabama than, say, Iowa versus Oklahoma State.
You're not drinking that Kool-Aid that they're pouring at the Pac-12, are you? That this Stanford still got a shot at making this playoff?
I'd
love to see the conference represented, whether it's Stanford or whoever. Maybe not SC, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just this whole narrative that they've been trumpeting since last night that hey, it's not over yet. Yes, it is.
They want to keep everybody tuned in, and they want people to watch. So. That's why they're supposed to say that.
I suppose so. I suppose so. Lincoln Kennedy, our guest, for a couple more minutes.
Link, who's the best player in college football right now?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. There's so many good ones out there. It's kind of hard to put your finger on one. I mean, the thing is that it changes, you know, so often. I thought Trayvon Boykin was going to be, you know, a star when he came in this season. And, of course, he had his struggles and injured and stuff like that. I mean, it's so hard to say who's the best player out there. I don't even know if there's one, to be honest with you.
All right, let me try and swing it back to the West then. We've been having a conversation, and he didn't have a great game last week. But Gianni Paul has, we think, as strong enough a case for defensive Pac-12 player of the year as anybody else. Sua Craven's having a great year. Defoe Buckner up there at Oregon is having a great year.
Yeah.
Is Gianni Paul from a school like Utah, is he going to get that recognition if he continues to play well?
It's going to be hard, especially when you have that football factory in Southern California pushing out big names. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it goes back to the power of branding. I think he has a good enough chance, but I'm not one of the voters.
How do we get you on that list?
I wish I knew. I don't think they want somebody as objective as me. I think they want the branders as well.
Sure.
I'll kind of bring it back around to Utah and UCLA for my final question for you here, Link. Utah's at home. They've got UCLA and Colorado. Obviously, they're going to be rooting hard for the Ducks.
Right.
But as you look at this game, can they keep it as simple as feed the beast, feed Devontae Booker, short passing game from Travis Wilson, and play that good stout defense and hope to get a win?
They can play the good stout defense. They're going to need more out of Travis Wilson. And because the health of Devontae Booker is up in question, I would be cautious to feed him. Look, I watched him in that Arizona game, and he just did not look himself, as you guys mentioned. It just did not feel like the Devontae Booker that we come accustomed to. So I don't know. You don't want to lose the turnover battle. That will really work against you in a game like this at UCLA, or any game for that matter. But I wouldn't necessarily be so reluctant to just feed him, unless you're absolutely certain that he was good to go.
By the way, have you ever – I mean, you're an offensive lineman, and you're a big dude. UCLA's got two tackles that are 6'9"?
Yeah, yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah, it's that good baby food in the 90s, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I've got one. I'm 6'7". You know, Zach, my son, and USC is 6'9". And I look at him, and I'm still trying to figure out what happened. But it must be something that we're putting in those baby bottles at times.
I'll tell you what. Steve Alford's going to ask those guys to come walk on that basketball team if he needs a little beef a little bit later on this year.
Yeah, that
has got to be a nightmare for guys that are playing defensive end. Just to try to get around a 6'9" guy has got to be tough.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I've noticed with some of the taller guys, you know, they're not a benefit is because they're doing so much two-point stance. They really need to learn how to get in a three-point stance and bend at their knees and their waist because these guys are so top-heavy. When they shoot their hands out, people are just ducking under them. They're not going to face anybody who's 6'5", really, on a consistent basis, even in the league. So you got to learn how to play those smaller guys.
You in studio this weekend?
I would not be. I'm going to be on the road with the Raiders in Detroit.
Ah, by the way, Raiders are playing well. They may
not
have
bad,
found themselves.
Yeah, they're an average team playing above average at times, but not bad.
But I mean, for recent year Raider, I mean, being a decent team is good. They're trending in the right. It looks like they found a coach and a quarterback finally.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think they are trending in the right direction. They've had a couple of good draft classes that have really paid off for them. They seem to be doing things in the right way. It's just, you know, these things take time. And, you know, the NFL fan especially, they're about as impatient as anybody. I mean, they want everything now.
Well, Lincoln Kennedy, safe travels to Detroit. We'll catch up with you again real soon. Thanks for jumping on with us, man.
Thanks,
hey, guys. It's been fun. Anytime. Be well.